Moms, happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out that are out there, and all you mothers to be, hang in there. For you women who can have children, there's some kids that just need loving on that you can be a mother too, and so God's got all of us covered, okay? Good to see everybody. Pastor Ron was scheduled to be here and had every intention to until his son called and said, "Dad, do you realize that this Sunday's Mother's Day?" He goes, "No, I didn't realize that." And he said, "You may want to get back there." And so anyway, so Pastor Ron is back spending Mother's Day with his family. So I apologize if you came here and are disappointed because I'm here, but I've got good news for you. When I pray here in a second, just quietly slip out, go to your favorite restaurant. You'll beat the church crowd, lunch crowd, and it's a win-win for you, okay? So it's all good. God's got you covered. I'm just messing with you. Wednesday night, you may not be aware of this, but we have another service on Wednesday night, just like this one. Three songs of worship, about 30, 35 minutes of teaching, childcare, hour service, very similar, except that we do a verse-by-verse Bible study. And we just finished, what did we just finish? It was very impactful on me. Seriously, I can't even remember what we just finished. Judges, yeah, so impactful. I'll never forget it. But we are going to start one in the book of John. And that is the book that you tell new believers, where should a rebel? Start off in the book of John. So it's a great book. And so if you want to get in on the front end, if you want to improve your Bible understanding knowledge, come out this Wednesday at 7 o'clock for that. And then when you come out on Wednesday, you're always going to get a joke from me. That's a part of the Wednesday night service. I tell a joke. I tell you, that Wednesday night crowd, they whine and complain if I don't tell a joke. And you know, marriage problems are created and everything goes haywire if I don't tell a joke. So I'll tell you a joke. I normally don't on Sunday, but I'm making an exception today because it's Mother's Day, okay? This is my gift to you, moms, okay? One Mother's Day, a little girl asked her mom, "How did the human race begin?" The mom answered, "Well, God made Adam and Eve, and they had children, and so mankind was made." Well, 2 days later, the little girl asked her dad the same question, and dad answered, "Many years ago, there were monkeys from which the human race evolved." Well, the confused girl turned to her mom and said, "How is it possible that you told me the human race was created by God?" And dad said it was developed from monkeys. And the mother answered, "Well, dear, it's very simple. I told you about my side of the family, and your dad told you about his." There you go. Happy Mother's Day. Father, talk to us as we go into your word, Lord. Confirm things that you've been talking to us. Reveal things that we don't know yet. And let us leave here encouraged, God, we ask. In Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 says, "It is a trustworthy statement, for if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." Let me use an illustration to talk about what this means. Let's say this summer you plan a trip to go to see Old Faithful in Yellowstone National Park. And you do some research on it and you realize that it bubbles up and spouts off every 90 minutes, which it does. And so you go there and you just miss the spouting off and you got to hang around for the full 90 minutes and wait for it. And so there you are. And man, you're starting to grow impatient 60 minutes into it, and you don't know if you can wait another 15 minutes. And all of a sudden, here comes this goose waddling along, and it's kind of looking and at a place, and it intrigues you, and it walks off in the woods, and you follow that goose. And you're out there, "What in the world is that goose doing?" And meanwhile, while you're out there, Old Faithful spouts off. You miss it because you're on a wild goose chase. You come back. Old Faithful is not going to say to you, "Oh, yeah, done chasing the goose. Yeah, now you come back to me. Oh, yeah, you just want me just to spout off again, huh? Yeah, it wasn't good enough for you to wait another 15 minutes, and now you want me to just spout off, huh?" No, Old Faithful is not going to say that to you. What's Old Faithful going to do? Every 90 minutes, Old Faithful is going to bubble up. Why? That's why they named him Old Faithful. That's what he does. He's true to his name. Every 90 minutes, he bubbles up. In the same token, that's who God is. God is faithful. He can't be anything other than faithful. Doesn't matter how many wild goose chases we go on, God is still faithful. And so you need to understand that about God. The devil will try to tell you otherwise. That when you goof up and when you wander away and you're out chasing all kinds of stuff around, the devil will tell you, you can't go back to God. Oh, he's mad at you. That church is going to judge you. Pastor is going to look at you when he's teaching and he's heard that you've done. And you know what? No. And he'll just try to condemn you and try to keep you away. Whereas God's saying, no, just come on back. Come on back. See, when the blessings in our life aren't flowing, it's not because they're not there. It's because we've removed ourselves from them. If you come back, all of a sudden, boom, it begins to flow again. Things begin to happen again. It's always been there. We just removed ourselves from it. Now, the Bible has several illustrations about the faithfulness of God, and I just want to talk about a couple of them today. Here's the first thing, is that he is faithful when we stumble. He's faithful when we stumble, when we fall, when we backslide, when we get off track. You may have heard of Noah and the ark. Spent over 100 days building an ark. Amazing feat. Not even sure what he's building it for. And God then told him, get your family and two of every animal and bring them in the ark. I'm going to destroy the earth. The earth had gotten so corrupt and so bad, God needed a do-over. And he got them inside, and it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, and all of mankind and all of the animal kingdom was destroyed. And they landed, and when the land dried out, and God said, okay, repopulate the earth and let the animals loose and let them repopulate. And we pick up the story in Genesis chapter 9, verse 20. Then Noah began farming and planted a vineyard. He became a farmer. He drank of the wine and became drunk and uncovered himself in his tent. Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it both upon both their shoulders and walked backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were turned away so that they did not see their father's nakedness. When Noah awoke from his wine, he knew what his youngest son had done to him. So he said, cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants he shall be to his brothers. He also said, blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant. May God enlarge in Japheth, and let him dwell in the tents of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant. What in the world is going on in this story? Noah becomes a farmer, gets drunk, most likely passes out. And then it describes what happened next as his nakedness was uncovered. Bible commentators and scholars have tried to figure out what that means. Some have said that basically he was just laying there and kind of, you know, exposed himself to his children. And I'm like, I don't think that's, you know, it's not good. But it's not, you know, end of the world. Off subject, we've all seen our parents, you know, when we were younger, all seen them without clothes on. My dad, he's passed away, but he was quite a character. He had a tattoo, and it was on his left cheek, and it was a pair of lips. You can get the connotation, right? You can tie those two together. And my brothers and I, every time we get a bath, Dad's in the bath, Dad's in the bath. Because we only got to him. We kind of see my bedroom as he walked by our bed, and we kind of look, see the lips. Yeah, it was intriguing. I don't think seeing him naked was the issue. And others have suggested that when Ham went in there, he committed a homosexual act against his father. I don't think so as well. Here's what I think happened, which is actually worse than the first two. In Leviticus chapter 20, verse 11, it says, if there is a man who lies with his father's wife, he has uncovered his father's nakedness. There's that phrase. That's found in Genesis 9. Both of them shall be put to death. Their blood guiltless is upon them. There it says that to uncover your father's nakedness is to sleep with your father's wife, which means that if this is the correct interpretation, that Ham slept with his mother. And you say, what in the world? Why in the world would he do that? What is going on here? Well, this is why I do think this is the right interpretation, sadly. Because in those days, there was always this desire to be the next in line. There was always this desire to kind of usurp even a father ahead of you. Remember Absalom, David's son, sat at the gate for years and told people, you know what, hey, you know, what's your problem? Oh, here, you know what, man, if I was king, here's what I'd do for you. And he stole the hearts of the people away from his dad, David. He wanted to have his dad's position. I think Ham here is wanting his dad's position as the patriarch of the family. And one of the ways to do that is to be able to get in and cut dad's legs out and get one of my sons from his wife. Kind of a sign of disrespect. Kind of an inside job here to kind of get, you know, get his foot in the door. I think it was taking place. That makes sense to me. And here's what's even sicker is when he walks out, he says he tells his brothers. He tells Shem and Japheth, hey, dad's nakedness is uncovered. In other words, you guys want to do it too? Come on in. Yeah, we can all three, man. We'll cut dad out of the mix here. Come on in here. Here's mom. Sick, isn't it? But I do think that's what's taking place. I think that's what's happening. But his brother says, no, that ain't right. So what do? Is they took that blanket and they didn't look at their mom. They just kind of walked backwards and put it over her. And as a result of that, they were blessed. And what's interesting is Ham is the one who committed the act, but the curse came upon the son that was born, Canaan. You say, well, why wouldn't Ham be cursed? He's the one that did it. Why Canaan? Well, because the whole idea was to have the tribe of Ham, his gene, his heir, be the tribe that would rule. And God says, no, to the contrary. Through Noah, he says, you know what? Hey, Canaan's cursed. He's cursed. He's actually going to serve his two brothers because of this act. He's cursed. You did this to try to give him prominence. The reverse is going to happen. He's going to be cursed. Sad story. Couple points I want to make from this. One, in the over 30 years that I've been a pastor, the number one contributor to broken marriages, broken families, Christians who cannot serve God the way they want to serve God is alcohol. It's alcohol. The use of alcohol, drugs, you can put drugs in there too, drugs and alcohol addiction. It's been the number one thing. It's torn apart more marriages. It's hamstrung more Christians, the addiction issue, than any other factor. Now pornography addiction is also lumped into that thing. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1 says this: wine is a mocker, strong drink a brawler, and whoever is intoxicated by it is not wise. Christians, I want to caution you. Be very, very careful if you choose to drink. I can't tell you drinking's a sin. I can tell you drunkenness is, but I can't tell you drinking's a sin. But I tell you, Christians, you be very, very careful, especially if you have young children. You're raising young kids. Why? Because what you're doing, basically saying, is that it's okay to drink. And I know you're not advocating drunkenness, but I'm saying, but by you drinking, your children, when they get 13, 14, 15, 16, even though you tell them, don't drink, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to drink. And maybe you could stop at a couple beers, and maybe you could stop at a couple glasses of wine. But how many of you remember when you're 16 or 17 or 18, moderation wasn't one of your strong suits? So you overdrink, and all of a sudden now these teens overdrink, and they get in a car accident and kill themselves or kill somebody and go to prison. How are you going to feel, Mom and Dad? Are you to blame? Not necessarily, but you kind of introduced them to it. It was a part of your family dynamic. I'm just saying be careful. Be very, very careful. Are you asking me, Pastor Doug, what do you prefer? I prefer none of you drink. I hate alcohol. My dad died at 49 of alcoholism. I was brought up in an alcoholic home. It took another brother, my other brother took his life with addiction. I hate it. but I can't tell you not to. I just say, Jay, be wise, and consider all those things, okay? Here's a second observation, is that Noah's dropping the ball left his wife vulnerable. When he got drunk, he left his wife vulnerable to these things. Guys, when we aren't doing what we're supposed to be doing, we leave our wives vulnerable. For instance, communication. If we don't talk with our wives and engage with our wives and listen to them, they're vulnerable. They feel like, you know what, hey, he doesn't love me, he doesn't care for me. They're vulnerable to, at that point, to feeling unloved. They're vulnerable to depression. They're vulnerable to whatever the case, play it out, maybe even affairs. Maybe they'll find somebody else who will come along and talk with them. I know it's tough, guys. It's hard for me even talking this thing because I'm such a bad communicator. I'd yap my brains off up here in the pulpit, but at home, I have to strain to talk with Vicky. I mean, in my perfect world, she talks. I'm like, yeah, hey. Yeah, hand motions and just grunts and stuff. Hard for me to, yes, honey, let's talk about this. You know, it's just hard for me to do that. But you know, guys, grit your teeth, get cross-eyed, and God help me, and just talk and do it because she needs it. You're covering her. You're covering her. I know it's hard. God bless them. Noah blew it big time, didn't he? And yet, in the book of Hebrews, he's called a man of faith, in the hall of faith there. And in 2 Peter, he's called a preacher of righteousness. God's not a hard God. You think God forgot all that Noah did right? Building the ark, facing the ridicule, like, what are you doing? They didn't have, when he built the ark, they didn't have rain yet. They didn't have rain yet. They just had this bubble that covered the earth, and it would just kind of water from the ground. What are you building an ark for? It's going to rain. Rain. Crazy. But he did that. He was faithful to God. You think God was not mindful of that? Yes, God is mindful of it. He's faithful. Secondly, he is faithful when we are desperate. He's faithful when we're desperate. There's a great story in Elisha, 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings 6, Elisha is a prophet. He followed Elijah. The king of Aram hated the king of Israel, hated the people of Israel, and wanted to destroy them. And so he's in his war room, and he's plotting, saying, okay, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. When they come around here, we're going to trap them, ambush them. He's doing all these things. Meanwhile, Elisha has his spiritual gift, and he's able to see in the spirit realm. And so he's hearing what the king of Aram is saying in the spirit realm, and he's going to the king of Israel saying to him, hey, here's what's going to happen. When you go down this road, they're going to get you, so go down a different road. And all of a sudden, Aram, and they have this plan out, and all of a sudden, Israel comes along, and they go a different route, and it completely, completely confuses the king of Aram. He says, we got a rat here. We got a traitor. There's a traitor in our midst. And one guy says, it's no traitor, man. It's this stinking Elijah. He knows what you're saying in your private room. And the king of Aram says, okay, good. Elijah's become public enemy number one. And they went and they brought this huge army, and they set up this thing to go against Elisha. And all of a sudden, Elisha woke up, and his attendant was there with him. And the attendant said, look. And he looked up there, and there were literally just thousands of troops. And Elisha's just, you know, having his cup of coffee and say, just relax here. Lord, let my attendant see. Was a different set of eyes. And when they got done praying, the attendant looked up there, and with his spiritual eyes, he's able to see that there were just thousands, twice, 10 times, 100 times, the Bible doesn't say, as many angels up there fighting against. We're gonna need some help down here, ushers. We're gonna need some help down here in the front. We show them the nursery. I normally don't like to call people out, but yeah, that's okay. We've got nurse in the back. I don't like doing that, but I don't have any ushers. I'm not sure where my ushers are at. Sorry about that. Just breaking my concentration. I'm sorry, I love kids, but the older I get, I just broke my concentration. Sorry. So, Elisha saw things in the spirit realm that could not be seen in the natural realm. We have to become people who see with spiritual eyes. See, half the time what we see in the natural is not even real. What's coming through the TV and what's coming through entertainment and what, that's not even real half the time. Do this and you'll be happy. Drive this and you'll be successful. It's not even real. What's real is what you see in the Word of God. What's real is what you see in the spirit realm. We saw that happen Friday night at our faith walk. It was the most amazing thing. If you've never been a part of it, a faith walk is when people come down to the church and we pray and say, God, we're going to go out in the community. Now use us. Show us what we're to do. We're just going to be available. And we send teams out, and then we have another group of people that stay back, and we pray that God would direct them. I compare it to like the people that go out, they're the jet fighters, and the people that stay back, they're the air traffic controllers. So we're praying, saying, Lord, you know what? Hey, we kind of feel this. Direct them here. Oh, Lord, give them courage there. Oh, God, just show them what they're to do here. And then as we get things, those of us stay back, we write it on poster board. And we post it back there. And we're writing all this stuff. And then when they come back, we say, okay, stand right here. We don't want you to see the board. Tell us your story first. So we make them where they can't see it. But we stay back and see it. When they're like telling us, we're like, oh my gosh. Because they're telling us stuff that we've already kind of saw in the spirit world. And then we tell them, okay, come over here and look. Look at this thing. Look what happened here. And all of a sudden, they're like, oh my gosh. For instance, we wrote down, those of us stayed back, under one of the team members, we felt like something was going to happen. And here's what we put, ambulance/ going to minister to the family or friend of someone that's hurt or a patient. And that's all we put. We just kind of felt that. Well, lo and behold, one of the teams went down to UMC. And while they're down at UMC, they said it was a weirdest environment. It was like almost like a tailgate scene. And an odd place at a hospital. It's kind of a sad place. But they're out there kind of talking and drinking a little bit. Well, I guess what happened is one of their friends had come in an ambulance off a motorcycle accident, and they were waiting to see him. And so this guy was going to go over there, and he said, oh, man, pretty rough, man. Oh, I kind of feel like God wants to go talk. No, they're pretty rough. And he finally said, you know what? I just can't get away from it. So he went over and said, hey, you know what? Can I pray with any of you? We're here in a faith walk. I think God wants, can we pray with any of you? And they said, yeah. Yeah, oh my gosh, we need prayer. And so he ended up having this ministry, talking about the Lord. Maybe some of those people, they were invited to church. I don't know if they're here. But what we saw in the spirit realm, they're doing down there. Twilight Zone stuff, right? What are the chances? And then another one we wrote down, going to minister to someone, a former Valley Vegas attender. Going to minister to a former Valley Vegas attender. Well, down there, we had actually two teams. We went down to UMC, the emergency room area down there, and they saw a man who used to attend here on a regular basis that has been gone for a while, and they saw him. They say he was very intoxicated and was going to check himself in. He had been on the streets and just not a good place. We were able to get him. In fact, what's really funny is one of the team leaders is part of our security team, and this guy always has a backpack, so we always had to kind of stop him and check his backpack. And he would get a little bit ticked off, and so our guy said, hey, remember me? You're the guy that used to get mad at me whenever I check your backpack, right? Oh, yeah. And so anyway, that same guy, we scooped him up, we took him and made sure he got treatment, and we put him into a facility where he's getting some help for his drinking problem. After God had said, going to minister to a former Valley Vegas attender. That's just two of about 10 things that night. See, we're seeing things with spiritual eyes. You have to get to the point where you're walking by faith, not by sight. You have to see things in the spirit realm as they really are. Lastly, he's faithful to give us our heart's desires. Our heart's desires. Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Make God your delight. Make him number one in your life, and he will put his plans, he'll put his will in your heart. That you have to see that. People are reluctant, I believe, to completely give themselves over to the Lord. Some of the people are. Why? Because they feel like if I say, God, I give you everything, they're convinced that as soon as they say that, God's going to say, okay, good. Call a travel agent, get a one-way ticket to Africa, and you're going to be a missionary in Africa. That's what they feel like. Man, God's going to ask me to do something that I don't even want to do. So I can't say that prayer. I can't do it. Because I don't want to be a missionary in Africa. It scares me. I don't want to wear like a little grass skirt around. It's not attractive. So I'll just won't say that prayer. And what they don't realize is that God will never ask you to do something that he hasn't already prepared you or put a desire in your heart to do. Those same missionaries who go to Africa, they can't wait to get over there. Whereas you and I would say, oh my gosh, oh man, no way I want to live in a grass hut. Their sin, oh my gosh, I've been wanting to camp all my life. This is like, I get to minister to the Lord in camp too? Oh, thank you, God. You're so good to me, God. Why? Because God's put that in their heart. It's a desire. It's not a burden for them. I had an opportunity to have one of my heart's desires fulfilled recently. I had always wanted to go and talk with some prisoners about my story. I relate to them. A lot of things that land people in prison, I have done and just didn't get caught. God had a different plan for my life. And I just relate to the broken people. Probably growing up in a broken home, I relate to those folks. I feel like I can speak their language. I feel like they could want to be open to my message. But I wasn't sure how that would happen. And finally it did, as I'm watching this documentary one night about 6 months ago, and it was baseball. That's what stopped me. I was like, challenged, like, oh, baseball. And I turned on to documentary about the baseball program at San Quentin Prison, the only prison in America where they actually have a baseball program, started by the chaplain years ago. And it's a way for the men to have something to do. A lot of these, you'd be surprised at how many good athletes that could be professional athletes are in prison because of doing something dumb when they're young and their opportunity is no longer there. And so I was able to, long story short, I wrote this random letter. I mean, a hard copy letter, San Quentin Prison. Hey, I'm a former player. I played professional baseball. Would love to go and give back. The documentary touched my heart, not really knowing where it would go. And I got a reply back. That sent things in motion. And then 2 weeks ago, Mike Perez, who attends church here, we flew out to San Francisco and went into San Quentin Prison and did a baseball clinic there for them. It was the most amazing thing. I wasn't sure where God was going to fit into this thing because the whole discussion was baseball. But I was saying, oh, Lord, you know, I want to be able to share my testimony. I get there, and I'm like, you know, trying to be, you know, PC and not too spiritual. And I know it's California, prison, you got to be, you know. These guys are saying, hey, you're Christian, aren't you? Hey, pastor, he's the pastor, everybody. The leader's saying this. I don't know how most of the guys in the team are Christian. If they're not Christian, they're totally open to it. They open the practice with prayer. At the end of the clinic, they said, hey, tell us your story. And all of a sudden, I'm going to be able to share how God found me in a dugout, how he's changed my life, how I'm burdened for you guys because I could be here, and how God, and I'm just encouraging them with the word and stuff, and they're amening me, and they're amening me, and we prayed at the end, and tears were shed, and I thought I was going to have to really tippy-toe with God, and they're saying, bring it on, bring it on. It was amazing. In prison, wonderful opportunity. Where did that desire come from? In my heart? Is that just something? No, God put it there. You have desires in your heart that you think you, and it's not you, it's God. He's put those things in your heart that he wants you to do. They're from the Lord. And some of you are saying, I need to do this thing, maybe out of obligation, maybe out of somebody told you you should do it, or maybe whatever, but it's not a desire. That's not from God. That's not from God. If it's something from the Lord, it'll be a desire. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Well, what about me, Pastor? I feel like God has something for me. I've been praying, but it's not happening. what about me? Have I done something wrong? Where do I go from here? I don't know what to do. I'm ready to give up. Well, here's what I encourage you to do. You might remember this illustration. I encourage you to be faithful. When you wake up tomorrow, say, Lord, you know what? God, here's what I'm praying for. I'm praying for this fruit to come. I'm praying for this revelation to happen. I'm praying for this breakthrough. I'm praying for this answer, God. God, please, Lord, let it happen. All of a sudden you walk out. Okay, maybe it's today. But you do what you do. You wake up. You serve God. You come to church. You love your family. And you go to bed. And you wake up. And say, okay, maybe today's a day. God, let it happen today. And you do it. And all of a sudden, you know, you're being faithful. And then one day you wake up and it's like, wow, something's different today. I got the Holy Spirit goosebumps. Man, I just feel this need to talk in King James. Wife, please go thy into thy kitchen and cook thou, loved one, thy bacon and thou eggs. Everything you say is spiritual that day. It's like, man, this something's different today. It's got to happen today. And all of a sudden, man, it's going to happen, and it doesn't. And now you're discouraged. Faithful, 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 faithful. Did I do something wrong? Faithful, faithful, faithful. How come, God? It's not fair, God. Faithful, 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 faithful. Faithful, and all of a sudden you get to breaking point, and you break, but you break in a good way. You break and say, God, you know what? As long as I got you, as long as I got you, God, whatever, I give this thing to you. It's yours. I give it to you. And all of a sudden, now joy comes back to you. Peace comes to you. You've released it. Faithful, faithful, faithful. I can do this. Faithful, faithful, faithful. You go to bed and you wake up. Faithful, fruitful. What the heck? The thing that you have been praying about, the thing that's been in your heart, the thing you just gave away to God, now all of a sudden has come to pass. Wonder if it's because you gave it up. All of a sudden it happens. And now you're so excited. Fruitful, 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 fruitful. And you walk in it, and you walk in it, and you can't go to sleep. You're all excited, and, oh, I'm going to live in this thing for the next couple months. And you wake up one day, and it's like, faithful. Now I got something else. Faithful, 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 fruitful. Faithful, 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 fruitful. Faithful, 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 faithful. Faithful, fruitful, faithful, 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 fruitful, faithful. What do you notice? You're more faithful more often than you are fruitful. That's how it is walking with God. You have to understand that. That you're going to walk in faith more. And you're going to be trusting God. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the Bible says, and the conviction of things what? Unseen. Faithful. Faithful, I'm praying, faithful, prayful. God, I still feel, I'm going to pray for it. I still feel you want it. Faithful, faithful. God, until you change this in my heart, I'm going to believe it's going to happen. God, faithful, faithful. Faithful, 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 fruitful. That's it. May you be faithful. Even if you're not, if you're faithless, he's still faithful, but may we learn to be faithful as well. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we are so thankful, God, that, Lord, even at our lowest points, even when we turn from you, and even when we're extremely faithless, you're old faithful. You're just there day after day. Your mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Lord, we thank you so much for that. Help us to be that way as well. If you're here today and you need to know the Lord, it's as simple as saying right now, Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. I turn my life over to you. If you need prayer, come up here, and these folks will pray with you up here on anything that you need. Other than that, you can go ahead and take a look up. God bless you. Be nice to mom today, okay? Be nicer than normal, okay? God bless you. We'll see you.